Pizzazz! Hello and welcome to episode 330 of the Hooniverse podcast. I am your host and I'm joined by my man Ron Baugh. What's going on, Ron?
Hello.
Yeah, good. It's funny. Before we started this podcast, we were just talking about how we both just kind of have had a day for different reasons, and we're both tired. And this is actually a makeup podcast because we both were tired last week for a variety of reasons. It was funny. I was going to just record solo. You had a lot going on. You weren't feeling good. You know, perfectly valid reason to just be like, hey, I need to not do it tonight. It's fine. Yeah. And then also your fire alarm was going off.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. My next door neighbor's smoke alarm, fire alarm was
right.
Going off.
Because you weren't feeling it, but you're like,
yeah.
What's that?
Exactly. I don't get migraines or anything, but it just caused a headache that I couldn't shake. And I was like, I don't know how to deal with this. Like, I don't know what this is.
Right. And then, so I was like, I'm just going to go ahead and do it. I'm sitting here by myself, and it's happening again tonight. My neighbor's outside shooting hoops, which he's a young kid. I think he's probably gearing up for a season or whatever, so I don't want to, like, shit on a kid shooting hoops. But it's like, I'm sitting here by myself, and I just hear thud, thud, thud. I was like, I'm not doing it tonight. So we didn't do it. So I kept the Twitter questions, though, from last week, which is kind of funny. But yeah, it's you know, sometimes we start these off not talking about car stuff, and it's one of those days where it's snapping at things for no reason and then feeling bad at the snapping. And then it's like a dumb
shit. And as long as you can own it and, you know, apologize if necessary, or just fucking deal with it.
Oh yeah.
Move on. Yeah. And, you know, you're human and you're allowed that.
One of them is the new, foster dog.
Oh yeah.
Fucking man, puppies. You know, puppies. And this one is a teethy, bitey motherfucker. And insanely cute. Mm-hmm. Mostly very affectionate. And then just like sometimes just snapping at you with those teeth. Like, I came home the first time I met him. I have like scrapes and shit on my arms now. It's like, God damn it. But whatever. You got to remember, it's still a puppy. It's learning. I mean, my own dog Pearl, when we first got her, was real bitey, and now she doesn't do that shit ever. So, yeah.
I had a meet and greet yesterday with a potential foster dog.
Oh, nice.
And she's 2 or 2.5 years old, but she's still doing that little teething, bitey thing, like when she first meets somebody. And I was like, yeah, no, that's got to stop. That's not going to last in my household.
Right.
If you come in, you gotta relax that. I'm not playing that shit. Because I actually get, like, I don't just get scratches. I get, like, welts, like dog slime.
Yeah.
Dog slime that I think I may be allergic to.
Yeah.
So it's, like, I get scratched from their teeth. Yep. Like, I get welts. Like, that shit fucking swells up and looks gross.
Yeah, I got one on my hand right now that's a little, like, sensitive. But if the dog puts its teeth on me, I try to wash my hands real quick just to get any, you know, dog saliva, just for stuff like that. But let's slide over. Let's talk about cars. I have one on the list I want to talk about from last week before we get to the monster that was revealed the other night, and you were there for it. So, Cadillac Escalade V. Bananas. Have you seen the stats on this thing?
I have, and I don't want to say I'm disappointed, knowing, you know, what all goes into it, what, you know, what power it's making, what it weighs, but I don't know. It's just like let's hear your thoughts first, and then I'll shoot.
Okay. So first, I'm gonna go through the spiel of the stats. 6.2 liter V8 supercharged. The supercharger is massive. It's 2.65 liters. The architecture of the engine is based on the CT5V Blackwing, so, and, you know, a couple other cars. This one gets a bigger supercharger and stuff. It's making 682 horsepower, 653 pound feet of torque. GM says 0 to 60 times are under 4.4, and the quarter mile is under 12.74 or something like that.
So that's where my beef comes in. Like,
okay,
I mean, I understand it's stickers for what, 150?
Yeah, 149,990.
It's more power than a Urus, a Bentayga, any of those things, and, like, you know, obviously it's trying to be a super SUV, and, like, those numbers just don't equate to, you know, what the Europeans put out. And, you know, it's like, it's fun. And I'm sure it's going to be tuned. And Hennessy's going to be a 1,000 horsepower version.
Yeah.
And, you know, that'll be the real competitor. And it'll probably cost, you know, another $100,000 and put it more in line with like a Urus. But then you're spending, you know, Lamborghini money on a Cadillac. And
now
it's basically just a gussied up Tahoe. So
it is much bigger, though. It is a bigger SUV. Sure. So when you need to get Jaden, Caden, and Aiden to the slopes quick, there's room. I think.
No, you're going to the ranch. You're not going to the slopes.
Yeah. No, you're going to the ranch.
Those kids are going to the slopes, but in something European.
I like that they're doing – it's fine. Well, I don't like – they're doing a short wheelbase and they're doing an ESV. They said they're doing limited production, but they aren't saying numbers because they say they never talk numbers. It has a 36-speaker sound system.
Fuck.
It makes a really good sound, and I am driving it in early June.
Hell yeah.
So I think it – I like that, you know, GM loves chrome. Cadillac loves chrome. Sure. And I love when they put out versions of their vehicles that black all that stuff out. Because I'm not a big chrome guy, especially like modern fake chrome. Like vintage chrome is different. So the V version gets, you know, it blacks it all out. And I think it looks pretty awesome. And it's, the Escalade for me has always been an odd guilty pleasure vehicle. Like it's a vehicle I shouldn't give a shit about. Anytime I drive one, I'm like, this is really nice.
I get it. Like I said, it's just the numbers that I have a problem with. It's like, you know, I wish they were more competitive with the actual super SUVs, you know, putting like the C8 in Ferrari and, you know, like R8 territory performance wise. Like, you know, I just wish it was, it makes the numbers, but like the horsepower numbers, but it just doesn't scoot as quickly as it's basically natural competition. But whatever, I think it's cool as hell. I love that they did it. You know, it's, I would be a second or third owner of one, you know, when it depreciates to half its sticker price.
Right.
I think it'd be super fun.
That's a good idea. Let's talk about different power then. So I got invited to this. I couldn't go because I was out of town or just returning from a trip. You were there at the unveiling of an amazing car with a terrible name, the Huna Pig.
Huna Pegasus.
I know. Well, everybody keeps like keep seeing both.
Right. And like, I can say internally, it's been referred to as the Huna Pig, you know, 9 times out of 10. But I don't think that, like, even for me, like, hearing about this thing and knowing what it was before I ever saw it. And I mean, I saw, like, concepts and sketches and stuff, you know, months ago. But just hearing Huna Pig didn't really connect with anything. It didn't make any sense. I mean, you know, the livery throws back to whatever it is, the 917 or 962 race car that had the butcher livery on it.
The pink pig, yep.
Right, exactly. So, you know, there's precedent there, and, you know, that makes sense, but it has to be explained. You know, it's like the Huna Pig, like, that could be fucking anything. Who knows? Right. You know, but it's an incredible piece of machinery, and, you know, that part is undeniable.
Yeah, and I think I'm sure the Mobile One sponsor part of it wants it to be the full Huna Pegasus.
Sure.
Because that plays into their branding a little bit, somewhat. But for those of you who are wondering what the hell we're talking about, this is a car that was just revealed. This is going to be Ken Block's Pikes Peak car. And it's a 911 that's been given some vintage looking touches, like a ducktail and some other shapes.
Wow.
But then some also modern stuff like crazy Time Attack style wings and stuff like that. It's built in collaboration with BBI, who knows both Porsches and Pikes Peak really well, so well that they're using their telemetry data for racing for the GPS-based suspension system that adjusts on the fly.
Yes.
That's sick. It's
easily the most impressive thing. You know,
absolutely.
It makes stupid power. It's, you know, 4.0 or 4.2 liter, you know, flat six, twin turbos, 1,400 horsepower. So, you know, it's a power level that Ken's accustomed to on Pikes Peak.
Right.
You know, he did Climbcana, the original Climbcana there with the Hunicorn when it was turned up to 11 with the twin turbos. So it sounds crazy, but it's something, I mean, I'm sure the driving experience is completely different, but, you know, it's a power level and a course that he's familiar with.
And it's got that Sedev gearbox, which he loves. He uses that in basically everything, which is a very expensive gearbox that, you know, top-tier rally cars use. But, yeah, I'm with you that the suspension is fascinating to me.
Yeah.
I need to go talk to Batim and just interview him just about this suspension, even though I'm sure he's extremely busy right now preparing like 10 cars that are probably running up there. But the goal is to go for the top record, which knocks the shit out of me. Which is 750 right now, 750 something. And it's the Volkswagen, it's an electric car. So for a gas car to do that, it's harder to make the power at that where they are, and just in general. Obviously, there are other complications for EVs up on the hill, but I mean, yeah, I guess if anybody can do it, Ken knows how to wheel the shit out of this thing and get it up there. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. I'm excited to see it.
How
are you? Are you planning on going to Pikes Peak?
No,
yourself?
I have no plans to go. No. How was the event?
The event was cool, man. It was like, I was a little trepidatious. I was a little hesitant because it was basically on Skid Row. It was downtown. I mean, just in proximity to Skid Row. So I was like, this is the nice place we could find. But honestly, it was at a place called Studio Stropa. And it's a really nice space. And it lended itself really nicely to the size of the event and the crowd and, you know, the people that came. You know, it was like, you know, our buddies, Johnny Lieberman, Matt Farah, Zach Clatman, you know, Dai Yoshihara. You know, there's, you know, the typical LA, you know, kind of car crew were all in attendance. Magnus was there. So, you know, it was, it didn't scare anybody off. And honestly, it was like a really well-run event. It was carefully planned and executed, and it was a lot of fun, man. Honestly, it was a good time.
I feel like I've been there for something. Just because that, I don't know if it was there or not, but Land Rover Defender, they did something at the LA Auto Show years back at a place in Skid Row, and Scotto was there. So I wonder if you like scoped that place out years ago. It might not have been there, but it was in the same area for sure.
There's a few studios in the area, and you know, a lot of people are like, "Oh, I went to something there," and then they showed up and they're like, "Oh, this is not the place that I was thinking of."
Yeah, it could have. That could be very easily the case. The crazy thing about the Defender was it was through Skid Row. I went through Skid Row right as like the sun was going down, and I had an Airbnb in a really nice apartment near the convention center. So I just hopped on a like a Lime or a Bird scooter. And rode that through Skid Row, and I was like, I am getting a lift back to my room. This scooter is staying right here. I think I actually just hopped in with some other journalist friends and either went to another event or got a lift home. But yeah, Skid Row is gnarly.
We literally had to like plant sod and like the curb planters, like the sidewalk planters and stuff, you know, clear out all the needles and all the trash. And we literally planted sod like on that block and like tried to clean it up as much as we could. And you know, there's still a bunch of RVs and, you know, non-running cars that people are living in the area. But, you know, I feel like we left that place better than we found it. And,
okay.
It was, like I said, it was a good time. It was cool, man. Like, I've been to a lot of those things where it's just like you stand around and wait and you're just like, okay, take the obligatory pictures, get out of here. And, you know, I didn't really have any involvement in either the vehicle or its debut. But it was cool to see what basically our team, our Wheel Pros, you know, marketing and events team could pull off. You know, it's basically a brand new team, and I think they crushed it. So
nice. And obviously, I'm assuming it's wearing Rotiforms.
It is. Yeah. It's Rotiform. I don't remember the name. You know, it's. I would imagine it's like whatever airport is, because most of the Rotiform wheel names they're all just three letters, and they're usually airport codes. So I would imagine it's whatever, like Colorado Springs.
I never put that together.
I don't really pay attention to them. It's hard to keep up. But monoblock forged, 18-inch wheels, 18, 12 and a half square for, you know, the wheel nerds out there. It's on Toyo tires. So
12 definitely got the grip. Square?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, that has a footprint. Yeah. Holy, that is a lot of rubber on the ground. Holy shit.
You need all that traction.
Yeah, that's fucking, and this is going to be a crazy year up at Pikes Peak. It's the 100th annual.
Mm-hmm.
Our friend Johnny's running, which is insane.
Yeah.
J.R. Hildebrand is running an Indy car.
Is he really?
Yeah.
That's sick. I didn't know that.
He was supposed to do it a year or two ago, but it didn't work out. But he's running a Dallara 2022 chassis Indy car.
Hell yes.
And I mean, that's his backyard, basically, is Pikes Peak. And
that then, dude, like, likes up and down Pikes Peak. Like, he's going to be least affected by the altitude. least and physically.
Rod Millen is running the Tacoma, like that 95 or whatever year it is. 0-60 in 1.6 seconds or something like that. Jeff Swore and the usual crew of so that'll be all very, very sick stuff.
Man, dude, now I kind of want to go.
Yeah. No, it'll be awesome. So the reason I wasn't able to make it to the event is because I was flying back from the Ozarks. I was in the Arkansas section of the Ozarks. I was invited by the wonderful people from this group called the Express Rally. They do, road car rally events and overland rally events, and they invited me to an overland one. The owner of the rally has a sick 80 series Land Cruiser that he just had converted to a JDM turbo diesel engine. So it's hilarious to drive because it sounds like a Peterbilt.
Oh, what brand?
Like the engine that wasn't offered in the States for other market land. It's a Land Cruiser engine.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's like
a ready-made swap, like the Cummins.
No, it's a 4-liter turbo diesel 6-cylinder Land Cruiser engine that we just never got.
It's like 800 pound-feet of torque.
I don't know, but I want him to dyno it so I can know the number. Because it's just tons of turbo whistle. It's hilarious. The truck has 37-inch tires, full Dobinson suspension, rooftop tent that he let me use, fridge in the back, radio so we can talk to everybody. The works. It was amazing. The trails were nuts. They were really tight. There was a guy with a Raptor in the group who was like having to like 3-point turn a lot of shit. It must have been really tough for him. There's a lot of Toyota product. It was cool though. Everybody was super nice. The land was really pretty out there, really beautiful. Then we put this thing to work. We actually had to winch in a few spots because this was like a shakedown test for his truck. He just got it back after 2 years and the rear locker wasn't working, which is insane because the truck's like 8,000 pounds. And so there are spots where like lightly modified 4Runners could walk up sections because their rear locker worked and we couldn't, which is insane because we had the most beastly thing there. So I was like, oh man, I'm sorry. He's like, no, this is a shakedown run. I know I got to have that fixed. But we had to like winch ourselves in two spots on the last day of the trail, and it'd been hot and humid the whole time. And this day it started thundering and lightning in a precarious section of trail. So it was like legit, like it was kind of sketchy, but it was awesome. It wasn't sketchy, but we're using, and I've never done true off-road recovery before, which is something I actually want to learn more about. Take a class if I can find one near me. Proper use of winch. We use winches. We use, for those of you who do know this stuff, we use snatch blocks, which are, do you know what those are?
I don't know.
It's a pulley system that you run a winch cable through, and it effectively then doubles the power of the winch through just mechanical force. Yeah. And then we actually had to double it another time to get us a truck out of this really thick mud section. Cause there was the media team on the event was driving like a 79 FJ60, like doing all the same stuff everybody else was with just tires basically. And it looked awesome. I posted a video of it on my Instagram in the reels. So if anybody follows, you can go find that on my page. But yeah, we had to use winching, real recovery, tree saver straps, a bunch of cool stuff. But there was a guy on the rally, this guy named Aaron Paris, who's like owns a safety, off-road safety company. He's an ambassador for Midland Radio. And he was like running the tail end of the trip. But it was awesome having him there because he knew exactly what to do. Like there was no hesitation. He's like, all right, I'm going to go this driver. You do this. This is a signal to winch. Like just took command. And you're like, I feel safe with this guy here. And then it's not just like you're bringing camp food. They have a dude go ahead to the campsite where we're going to be at the night. And he is a chef. So he cooks breakfast and dinner. You kind of make lunch on your own. But when you get to the campsite, you set up your tents, you start cracking beers. There's dude cooking like potatoes and carrots and like really tasty pork and stuff over there. And then the next night we had, I forget what we ate the next night. It was like a stir fry. And then in breakfast, eggs, bacon, sausage, all that stuff, pancakes. Yeah, it was awesome. They wheeled out flat tops. So it was nice. They run a good show at the Express mm-hmm. Rally. And but here's the thing.
Was it 2 or 3 days?
It was, I landed late Thursday. We met up on Friday. Yeah, so we drove Friday, Saturday, and then we finished right around lunchtime on Sunday. And then I came home on Monday. I spent the night in Bentonville, which was a really nice town in Arkansas. Mm-hmm. They had a really cool hotel that had the whole bottom floor was an art museum, which was pretty neat. And then they warned me. They're like, oh, you know, where are you from? And I said, California. They're like, oh, just so you know, there's like ticks everywhere here. I was like, oh, shit. Okay. And I was like, then I was super nervous because I'm not a bug guy. You know, I'm a little California baby face. And people, like the camera people are just like traipsing through the woods being like, oh, yep, got one pulling off. I was like, what the fuck? I'm like, I'm wearing pants. And I didn't see any ticks the whole time. I get to my hotel room, about to hop in the shower, and I found one on my ass.
Wow, dude. It's like the Stand By Me leech scene.
Yes. So I didn't know what to do. I just pulled it out. And everybody's like, oh, no, you might have left the head in. But I took a picture of the tick and I showed someone. They're like, no, it looks like you got it. And then, of course, you know how you should never Google symptoms and go to WebMD because you're like, I'm dying.
We've talked about this before. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, I'm pretty sure I have like
Lyme disease.
And Lyme disease. Yeah. So it's fucking stupid. But I feel fine. There's no rash. I got the tick out. Stupid, dumb fucking bugs. But the trip was dope.
I'm not a fan.
Check Express Rally out if you're interested in that stuff. They do them not just in Arkansas. They do them all over the country, and they're planning some big ones outside the country too, which I don't want to spoil because I don't think they've announced it all yet. But it was great. Really well run. Felt the routes were great. The communication was great. And I thank them for – they didn't charge me anything. They brought me out to attend, and I appreciate it. So shout out to Express Rally.
Looked like a good time.
I got to cut a video too. The media team that was on site, they're giving me their B-roll. So I'm going to put a video together of it all. But what back to our world, what is going on with your fleet and the Shitbox Speakeasy? Where are we at?
Shitbox Speakeasy, not much to report. We've been, I hate to say, but not fully taking advantage of it. I mean, we're taking advantage of the safety and the storage. You know, we got cameras up and stuff. So, you know, it's like now we... Like, I feel like we've got even greater peace of mind and everybody is like happy and it does what it needs to do. Some cars are being sold, none of mine, but some guys are shuffling cars and, you know, the stacks kind of have a color theme.
Oh, yeah.
Basically, every car on the stacks is red, black, or white. And one of Whipple's silver cars, he just sold an R32 and he's buying something red to replace it. So I think slowly but surely, I don't know if you saw this, but in my stories a couple weeks ago, I was considering selling the Tahoe in exchange for a Saline S281 SC convertible. It's
right.
Basically the car that is the actual car that's in a poster that I have signed from Steve Saline back in 02 or 03. So it's the actual car from the poster. So I'm just like, there's like it's low miles. It's only two owner. Like the first owner was like the GM of Saline back in the day. So I'm seriously considering selling the Tahoe and replacing it with a red car. And then we'll just have like a whole wall of black and red cars. But it could easily be a second gen Lightning as opposed to the Saline. I'm all over the place, but I'm more and more seriously considering selling the title just because I feel like it deserves to be left alone and not further modified. Like it's like the perfect kind of like period correct, like time capsule. And I just want to tinker. I just want to do more shit. Like
right.
I'm tempted to like LS or LT swap it. And that truck just doesn't deserve it. Like it doesn't need to be cut up. It's like, it served me like as a perfect daily driver for 2 years. And it just does not deserve to be fucked with. And I just want something that I can fuck with. Or
that's
faster. It's like, you know, this sounds weird when I say it, but it's too reliable to be my second or third car. Like, it just doesn't make any sense. Like,
I hear you.
It's a cool beach cruiser, but like I grabbed it for the weekend and went to the beach and met some guys and at the dog beach on Sunday. And it was cool, but like, I could have done that in just about anything that I own.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. You know, it's like, I'm not using it to haul. Like I wanted a truck 'cause I wanted a boat and you know, that hasn't come true, hasn't come to fruition. It's probably not going to anytime soon. So it's like, you know, I can get something that's a little bit more fun to drive and a little bit less reliable.
There you go. Yeah. No, yeah. Too reliable. You get too nervous. It's funny because it's like almost exactly where I am with the Montero, not the selling it part, but mm-hmm. My plan was to just do some very light stuff, like basically wheels and tires and some lights and just kind of mm-hmm. call it a day. And now I've added the roof rack and it has a few more right. lights, and I'm going to add an awning, and now I got a fridge yeah. in the back. And after spending the weekend in the Ozarks, now I want to go deeper. I want to do front and rear. I want to do electronic lockers, front and rear. I want to change the yeah. gearing to 490s or 529s. I want to, and the craziest one is to sell the Jag to fund a diesel swap.
Yeah, dude, it's a slippery slope. That's what I'm saying. It's like,
yeah, my, the guy who works on stuff for me is, I'm like, do you have a smog guy? He's like, yeah, I got a smog guy. I'm like, okay. So I could keep it registered in the state.
Well, there's other solutions to that, but
even though I'm admitting, yeah, no, but I like my California plates.
Yeah, you got a great plate. I wouldn't want you to get rid of that.
I can't, and I don't want to do the Montana thing. I mean, when you're doing it for engine swap reasons, I don't hate it. It's when people do it for tax reasons is where I disagree with it. Though I could register like with my mom in New Hampshire or something like that, but or like how Farrah registered a car to South Carolina, but his family has a house there, so that's right. not egregious. I know I'm like admitting to wanting to do something illegal, but if they have a small guy,
California is fucking it's just, they're making it impossible. Like, you know, this is like the automotive mecca of the US and mm-hmm. if not the world. And they're just making it increasingly difficult. Like these stupid ass, like this announcement of these stupid fucking, I guess they're called sound cameras. You know, it's like, you know, the like automated roboticized, you know, decibel meters that will issue a ticket to a car that drives by with that's louder than 95 decibels or whatever the fuck it is. It's like, I feel like, and actually I listened to Spike, Zuckerman and Johnny today, and Zuckerman, you know, who's an attorney, talked about it. And he's like, it's basically unenforceable. Like there's no way, you know, you can't get out of that. You know, it's nobody's even really enforcing red light tickets. So it's like, you know, it's just another case of somebody basically coming to the state or, you know, the city or whoever it might be with an idea like, hey, I've got this technology. You guys can use it to increase revenue. And it's just, you know, it's just a cash grab at the expense of automotive enthusiasts. And mm-hmm. I feel like it's totally unenforceable and it's just a silly program, but they'll give anything a shot to try and raise a few bucks.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But
so, yeah, I have little, I don't know, sympathy for the state.
No, I get it. All right. I am going to jump over to some Twitter questions. Like I said, I don't have the Instagram ones anymore. Actually, real quick before we do that, because I can share screen, I'm going to show a picture of the Land Cruiser that I drove. Oh, yeah. Let's see. We go to this one. Share. It take a second to pop up. You see it?
Yeah, I see it.
So this is the truck.
Yeah, just a,
yeah. It's just a monster of a machine. And this is with the, at camp with the rooftop tent up. It was just.
What was the weather like?
What's that?
I said, what was the weather like last weekend?
It was, let me stop sharing real quick. It was like 90 and humid. And then also, he's like, hey, I'm sorry. He picked me up. He's like, I'm sorry. My AC just went out. I was like, oh, shit. It's like, no, it's fine. You know what? On my Montero, it just started blowing warmer. So I'm like, so I'm in the world, man. I, if something's not wrong with the car, so, if that's weird to me. So let's do it. Let's make it happen. All right. So Twitter questions. First one from Victor Troya at Victoria 21. What do you think of the second gen Cadillac Escalade? I'm thinking about buying a clean low mileage example. And I know he already bought it because these questions were from a week ago. I mean, I like it better than the first gen. That's for sure. But if you found a clean low mileage example, hell yeah. Buying any car these days is insane. So if you got a good price, good for you.
Sure. I watched some, like, I think this was a few weeks ago or months ago even, I watched some YouTube video of somebody basically overlanding with the second gen Escalade. And I was like, that's actually pretty brilliant. I was just like, it's not something I would think about, but that is, you know, all the lux and, like, you know, it's capable. It's all wheel drive. Like,
yeah.
Know,
if you're just doing fire road, if you're just doing fire road, because there's no transfer case in those,
right.
Unless I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure Escalades don't have transfer cases. But yeah, just fire roads, easy camping. Yeah, hell yeah. Mm-hmm. That'd be cool. Claudio Di Pastrama at Sladio Cavedra asks, will the introduction of the new G-Class bring prices of older G-Classes down? Relatively recent ones, no. But the weird thing is, if you go like much older and they're still the same shape, there's pretty decent deals on just basic older G-Classes. Sure. You can find some good stuff.
Am I missing something? Is there, like, they just introduced this new chassis, this new G-Wagon in 2018. Like, I don't think we're seeing a new one anytime soon.
And they could mean the electric one. That's not that far off, maybe. I don't know. And I don't know if there's a new gas one coming to mimic the style of whatever the electric one is. So I don't know. I don't think there is, but I don't know. This is a funny question. Will Ron be selling his two-door Tahoe to make room for the new Scout announced this morning, which was an
That's funny. I have a friend, one of my best friends growing up. He had two different Scouts in high school, and they're both rusty pieces of shit, but they were awesome. Mm-hmm. And that just seems to be par for the course. And like, they've always held a soft spot in my heart. And like, I always share, like, if I see a Scout on the road, I'll share it with him and vice versa. And it's like, you know, our midlife crisis, like, either one of us, like, could get into a Scout, but maybe 10 years ago, but before we were in, you know, our midlife crisis. But now it seems like everyone's been scooped up and, you know, rehabbed, and like, they're super expensive or they're still rusty pieces of shit. And it's like, I don't know, like, was it Zach Bowman that wrote an article basically lambasting VW for basically just like a cash grab and just like stealing the name and like not.
It might have been Sam Smith.
I don't know.
Did Bowman write one?
I feel like it was, but I'm not sure. But
I have to find that. That actually would make sense.
I'm pretty sure it was, because I shared it with my buddy John, and I was just like, Zach, like, basically nailed it here, because he basically, you know, like, VW is basically taking a brand name and, you know, watering it down and making it palatable to, you know, people like us that have nostalgia for it. And it's like, okay, if the shape is reminiscent and, you know, the styling is, you know, nostalgic, then yeah, we're going to be interested and we're going to check it out. But I don't think that's, I would get a new Bronco before I would get a new EV Scout personally. But I don't know. I'm curious
if, because one of my complaints with Volkswagen these days is they used to be a brand full of charming quirkiness,
right?
At every level. And that is very much gone. They're pretty boring cars now. Yeah. They're almost like as Toyota has started making far more entertaining machines, Volkswagen has gone the opposite way. And you know, they're just even watering down GTIs and Golf R's and stuff like that, where it's like, all right, we won't give you the full plaid seats, but there's like a little strip of plaid to remember what we once used to be. And just like weird choices. And I'm just looking for the quirk to come back. And I wonder if they could like dial some of that into the Scout brand potentially, which then would make it more interesting to me.
It's an interesting marriage of brands. I will say that. Like, I don't fully understand it. So, you know, I'm not personally excited for it, but it'll be interesting to see what they make of it.
Yeah. Our buddy Camille asks, thoughts on buying imported JDM cars, right-hand drive as a daily driver and a 25-year-old vehicle as a daily driver. I think I personally don't want a daily, a right-hand drive vehicle. I don't think it's crazy to, and 25 years old doesn't bother me at all, but I wouldn't want a daily, a right-hand driver in this country, but I don't know about you.
I don't think I'd have a problem with either, to be completely honest with you, if it was a cool enough car that just like made me smile every time I got in it. But like, I feel like any car, any 25-year-old JDM car that would bring that smile to my face every day is probably unaffordable for me, at least as a daily.
Yeah.
But I don't, there's some cool shit out there. Like, I would love to have, like, you know, whatever the, if, I don't even know, I'm pretty sure they did, whatever the Lexus LS 400 equivalent was, I forget.
Oh, like a Sora or something?
No, Sora was the SC, I think, but.
Oh, was it? I thought it was, okay.
Anyway, I'm like, I'm not at full brain capacity right now, but like to have it a right-hand drive, like VIP, like full-size sedan.
Yeah.
Like I would do that in a heartbeat, and you know they're dead nuts reliable, so I wouldn't even worry about that. And most of the parts are interchangeable with, you know, Lexus stuff, so that would be kind of cool. But I don't remember what the – that's not Celsior. I don't remember what they called them. But
that might be it. But have you ever seen the Nissan Gloria wagon?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. That's what I want. I want the one that looks like the like a small like a 5-6 country sedan.
Mm-hmm.
I want one of those.
The Gloria, the Stagia, that looks like the Stagia skyline. Yeah,
yeah,
that would be cool as hell too. Do like a like a GTR front end swap.
I'm gonna post a picture of the Gloria wagon so people can see what I'm talking about. So let me just share the screen. Where is there it is? Share. So, and this one right here.
Yeah. It looks like an LTD.
Yeah. Where'd it go? Where'd you go, bitch? Oh, right there. This thing is so, so awesome. I would absolutely love this car with like, and it'd be funny to do, you know, imagine having like a 2J in it or an RB or something. Or some kind of small American V8, you know?
Yeah.
That would be dope.
Or a 1UZ, like a Lexus V8.
1UZ would be good. 1UZ would be really good. That's a good choice, yeah. Let me stop sharing. Sharon is Karen. Okay. Bobby Reed, this is a tough question. What is the highest repair shop bill that you've paid?
Oof. Man. I've been super fortunate. Honestly, I think I paid like $3,800 a few years ago to have a new front K member installed in my Mustang, along with front rear sway bars. And I was supposed to have a Panhard bar and torque arm installed, but they were incompatible with my coilover. So, but yeah, I mean, it wasn't even a repair; it was an upgrade. So, you know, I've repairs like when the motor didn't actually blow, but the timing chain broke in my original 306 in the Mustang.
Yeah.
And I'd already bought a 351. Mm-hmm. I had the motor before I even bought the car. It was always the plan. So I did that swap by myself and obviously saved thousands and thousands of dollars. But I've been fortunate, knock on wood. I haven't had any catastrophic failures, and I haven't really taken on any projects that I couldn't at least get over the hump myself and, you know, get going.
Nice. Mine was when I was getting the suspension installed on my Montero at the same time as they discovered that it had a bent valve.
Oh.
So that became one bill.
Right.
And it was probably like three times what I paid for the truck or something. close to that. Great. Not great. Not great. Moving on. Dan Watson, how long do you think it'll be until sports car makers stop chasing numbers and start focusing on feel and driver engagement, seeing as varying levels of electrification is being mandated into vehicles? I think they'll always chase a certain level of number. But yeah, I think feel and driver engagement will be something that'll be harder and harder to come by. So I can see where you're going with them wanting to chase that and bake that into vehicles. Like how when you, like if you drive an electric Porsche, it still feels like a Porsche, you know, it doesn't feel just like a neutered electronic power steering system.
Right.
But
I think there's plenty of examples though, you know, in the last 5 years of true sports cars that didn't chase numbers, like, you know, GT350, GT350R, you know, Z28 before that, you know, the 86 twins, even the Supra and the new Z, like, I don't feel like, you know, they're all out, you know, chasing lap records or chasing 0 to 60 in quarter mile times or top speed. You know, I think those are cars that are all about driver engagement and, you know, really offering the best driving experience possible as opposed to just hitting numbers.
Yeah, well, I mean, they
you have the GT500 for the numbers and the GT50 for, you know, the driving engagement.
I think they can get away with saying they're not chasing numbers, but then like they'll also toss out like in a Z28, be like, oh, let's set the lap record here, or the GT350, like Laguna Seca, blah blah blah. So like they're still, maybe they can make the numbers less obvious, less in your face, but then you'll like talk to them and they'll be like, okay, so we benchmarked this and the you know. But yeah, I see what you're saying. Absolutely. But I think some will chase the numbers, and then there'll be feel and engagement cars as well. So I'm not really sure to answer, not really answer your question. Dan Watson at large underscore Fred. This guy wrote, Jim O'Connor, who's Ron? I said he's my co-host, but he's not on Twitter. So, so there you go. And then Russell Datz at Russell Datz. He wrote, favorite Volvo, because he's the PR guy for Volvo. And my favorite Volvo, besides vintage rally Volvos, is would be a V60 Polestar, especially if you could have bought the, well, the one from a couple years ago was sick, but the one that they just had, the plug-in hybrid one, at one point qualified for carpool lane access.
Oh, okay.
And that one would have, and here in LA, that would have been primo. Yeah.
That's huge. Yeah. Mine is, and I just want to verify the number. Yeah, I got it right. 760 Bertone Coupe.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a good one. The shapely, like the slightly curved box.
Yeah, it's like almost like chop top, like relative to all the other 760s.
There used to be one of the places when we lived in Huntington. Some dude just would street park kind of a janky one of those, just chilling on the street. Yeah, the cars you'd walk by.
Chrysler TC by Maserati, like it's like total badge engineering, but you know, styled. It was Italian styling. And they had the Bertone badges, and one of my friends in high school drove one, so I got to see it all the time. And I was just like, that's cool relative to everybody else driving their mom's like 240, you know, wagon or whatever.
Right.
Like, and they were super unique.
And I said vintage rally stuff. My brain blinked out for a second and went Saab, but what I meant was the touring car stuff, like the racing wagons.
Oh, yeah, like the 850Rs. Those are fucking cool, too.
Yeah. Especially the ones with like the full Swedish flag liveries and stuff like that. Those are sick. But yeah, those are the Twitter questions. I don't, like I said, don't have the Instagram questions. And that's actually all I've got for this week to talk about. I don't know if there's anything pressing on your end or anything cool coming up.
I'm headed to Atlanta tomorrow, and I'm going to, with the Rotiforum like media team and, you know, our events team, where we've got a show on Saturday. I'm going just for shits and giggles. Like, I have no actual responsibility or work to do there, but I'm just going to hang out with the team and check it out. Kind of use it as a boondoggle to go home, see family, see Killer Mike, and talk about some projects that we've got going on. And just I haven't been home to Atlanta in almost 3 years, so it's long overdue, and I'm excited to feel that heat and humidity, but not the bugs.
Yeah, so. Yeah. I hear you there. I'm
like a beekeeper suit with like air conditioning in it.
Yeah, I'm gonna drive Escalade V in a couple weeks. I have the Lexus LX 600 out front right now. I'll be shooting video on that later this week. I just scheduled my loan of the Z, which will be in July. Okay.
Nice.
June. I get it next month.
Sick.
So I'm excited about that one. I also get a Bentley next week.
Which one?
The Flying Spur Hybrid.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. And then...
have you had the GT yet? The coupe?
Nissan Z Auto. I had it a while ago. I forget. It's been a while. Yes, I have had it, but it has been a while.
I want to ride in that Flying Spur. I love Bentleys.
Can do. And then just some back east travel, like you see family, stuff like that. And then we're still fine tuning and finishing up stuff for the summer version of Autopia 2099, which is going down in the Bay Area on August 6th.
Cool.
San Francisco, we got a location. We a great location actually down by the piers, which will be dope. And then we're just finalizing some event stuff. Tickets will go on sale soon.
Car week or totally independent?
It is probably a couple weeks before or the week before Car Week, I think. Yeah, because it's August 6th. I think Pebble is usually the next week or even a week later than that. Yeah. So everybody stay tuned for the Eventbrite ticket sale thing to go live. We'd love to get tons of people out there trying to do more than we did for the first one, even though the first one went pretty darn well. So stay tuned for more info on that once we have everything fully locked down. We'll be good to go on that one. But that's it for us this week. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. We'll see y'all next time.
Later, players.